The reading for today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, from verse 21 till 34. And you can find it at page 1006 of the Bible you were given when you came in. Jesus said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone hears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use it, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the corn is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, brother. Good morning, church. I'm Adam Boyce. As the other Adam said, well, I'm the other Adam, he is Adam. It gets a bit confusing, but you can call me Boycey if you like. I've been called worse. I'm a member of the church family here at Christ Church. And on Remembrance Sunday, we pause, as Adam reminded us earlier on, to remember those whose lives they gave for the freedom and the peace that we enjoy today. And we remember their courage, their sacrifice, and the cost of conflict. Not just in lives lost, but in families that were changed forever, in silent wounds that would have been carried for years. My own dad, he lost his father in a war when he was just 3 years old, so he grew up not having a father in his life, and it was a wound that he carried all of his life, bless him. And it reminds us that peace always comes at a cost and calls us never to forget what that price was that was paid for it. But we also remember that peace isn't just something that we look back on. It's something that we still long for in our own ways, in our lives today. Could be in our homes where relationships might be strained and wounds go unspoken, or it could be in our hearts, the place where we carry all of us, no matter what age we are, or where we're from, what walk of life, we carry our own burdens in our hearts, questions and silent struggles that we don't talk about. And that's where Jesus comes in. Because in today's Bible passage, Jesus is speaking to us in parables, these short earthly stories, but with deep spiritual meaning. And he talks about lamps, he talks about seeds, and he talks about tiny mustard plants. But it's not just garden talk. These are all pictures of something much bigger. And it's what is called the kingdom of God. And in our passage this morning, Jesus is telling his disciples these three stories. And it's not to keep what they know about him hidden, that's the light. It's what their responsibility is, and that's to sow seed, share what they know about Jesus, that's the seed. And what reaction they might get sometimes it can be slow or no reaction, that's the mustard seed. So three short little stories. But before we go any further, let's just unpack what this means, because when Jesus talks about the light, Jesus is talking about himself. He is the light. Jesus shows us who God really is. He exposes what's broken in us and in this world around us. And he lights up the only path that can lead us to God. And he didn't just come to give us good advice. He came to deal with the darkness in the world and the darkness around us. So when he talks about darkness in our passage this morning, he's not just talking about hard times. He's talking about everything that can separate us from God. And that could be spiritual blindness, which is basically not knowing who God really is. or it could be feeling really weighed down by guilt or carrying some shame that you don't want to talk about something that you might have done wrong. Or it might be about sin, which we've all done, and that's basically doing things our way and not the way God wants us to live our lives. Or maybe it could be being confused about what's true or what's right anymore, or maybe pushing God away. And Jesus, the light of the world, came to deal with all of that head on. At the cross, he took the weight of that darkness, your sin, my sin, everybody's sin, so that we could receive the light of forgiveness, the truth about who Jesus is, and be at peace with God. So darkness is what life looks like when Jesus basically isn't a part of our life. When we try to sort of figure it all out in our own way, it's being disconnected from the very one who made us and the very one who loves us more than anybody else could ever love us in our lives in this world. That's the darkness that Jesus came to rescue us from. So that's the light, that's the darkness. And he also speaks about the kingdom of God. And that's not just a spiritual feeling or some abstract idea. It essentially means wherever God is in charge. Not just up in heaven, but here in the everyday world where we live. And that could be at school, it could be at work, it could be in our families. And the mess and sometimes chaos of ordinary everyday lives, we can see the kingdom of God. And he's chosen to bring that kingdom through the person that we know is Jesus Christ. The king who came not with a sword, but he came with love, he came with truth, he came with sacrifice, and he came with power. Because the kingdom is where God is making things right again, starting with the human heart. It's where his love rules instead of hate. It's where his peace replaces chaos. And it's where his forgiveness sets people free. I think we've all experienced that when somebody's forgiven us of something we've done wrong and we've had that sense of relief, of freedom from that burden that we've felt. So when we talk about the kingdom of God, we're talking about basically God's rescue plan in action. Bringing light where there's darkness, healing where there's pain, and bringing people into a relationship with him that we were all made to have. And he does it all through Jesus. So when you hear those phrases today, light, darkness, kingdom, don't just think of it as a metaphor or Jesus speaking in storytelling riddles. Think reality, real life, and think Jesus. Think of the world as it is and the world as God is making it to be. So before we look at these three little stories, shall we bow our heads and pray? Father God, we thank you for this day you've given us, this new day of life. We thank you that we have the opportunity to come here this morning and remember those who sacrificed so much, who lost so much, so that we might gain and we might live in freedom. And Father, we also thank you for your word, for the Bible, that tells us so richly, so deeply, so broadly about your Son, Jesus Christ. So may we enjoy this moment now we have with you and with Jesus together. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing to you, my Lord, my rock, and my redeemer. Amen. So we're going to look at this in three chunks, as Jesus told the story in three chunks. We've got the lamp, let it shine, the seed, trust the process, and the mustard seed, start small, but with big impact, or small start, big impact. So the lamp, let it shine. Jesus starts by asking a really obvious question. Look with me if you've still got your Bibles open or your little black books if you're regular. At verse 21, do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? So the obvious answer here is of course not. Lamps are made to shine. Light is meant to be seen. Hidden light doesn't help anyone. Jesus is saying that his message, his truth, his kingdom aren't meant to be hidden. It's meant to be revealed. And now some of us here today have received that light. You know Jesus, you've seen what he's done in your life, and you're carrying his light. But here's the question, is that light visible to others to see in your daily life? Are you putting it on a light stand, or are you tucking it away under somewhere in a bowl, as Jesus says metaphorically? On Remembrance Sunday, we honor those who didn't hide. They stepped into darkness, right into danger, for the sake of others. Jesus says the same thing is true about his kingdom. We don't hide the light, we shine it. Not arrogantly or proudly, or like it's something to boast about, but courageously. And in your daily life, that can be as simple as you being honest about your faith with someone at work or at school, even when it feels awkward. Or by offering to pray for somebody who's struggling, which can take courage sometimes. Or by choosing to do the right thing, even when nobody else is watching. Or maybe by showing kindness, even when the other person doesn't deserve it. Shining the light of Jesus looks like living differently from how the world expects us to live. Not to impress, but to reflect the one, Jesus Christ, who has changed us. And if you're someone who's experienced that light, the peace, the strength, the hope that Jesus gives, then that's not something to keep to yourself. Because someone else might be watching your life wondering, is this Jesus stuff that they believe in really real? Because God didn't give you his light just to make you feel safe or comfortable. He gave it so others could see him through you. And for those of you visiting this morning, welcome. Or you might be, you know, you might be exploring faith and what believing in Jesus looks like. Maybe you're not sure of what you believe. I wonder if you've ever seen that light in somebody else's life. That quiet strength, that joy that they display, even when you know they're suffering. That unshakable peace, even when they might have chaos going on around them in their lives. That's not from them, that's the light of Christ in them. For those of you who follow Jesus, your life might be the first glimpse of Jesus that someone else ever sees. So shine that light of Jesus, don't hide it. So that's the lamp, let it shine. The growing seed, trust the process. We hear that all the time in the world, don't we? I'm an Arsenal fan and we've been told to trust the process now since 2018, I think, or 2019, whenever Arteta came in. And I'm still trusting, even though yesterday it fainted just a little bit when that last equaliser went in. Sorry, I'm digressing. I like my team, but not the suffering. Next, Jesus tells a story about a father who scatters seeds, then goes to bed, basically. Verse 27, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. The farmer doesn't control the growth. I wish I controlled the growth of my garden because the weeds have taken over yet again. The raspberry bush that started off as one little reduced to clear bush in B&Q 10 years ago now covers the whole bed because apparently the seeds drop from the raspberries. And anyway, God controls the growth of my raspberry bush and God controls the growth here in our story. The farmer can't force it, but the seed grows anyway. Quietly, steadily, beneath the surface. And I'm sure some of us here this morning are frustrated right now with the people we love, with the places we serve, maybe even with ourselves. Perhaps you've shared your faith with a friend or a family member, but nothing ever seems to change. You've prayed for your children or your partner or maybe a friend at school or at work, but they still seem so far from God despite your best efforts. You're putting in the effort, but you're not seeing any results. And it's frustrating, and maybe it's even making you question if it's all still really worth it. But Jesus says, don't give up. Keep sowing. God is growing something you can't see. And this is so important on a day like today when we remember people who lived faithfully, died sacrificially, whose seeds are still bearing fruit after their lives have ended. Some of them didn't ever live to see peace, but they sowed into it anyway. The kingdom of God doesn't always grow fast, but it will and has always done grown. And Jesus is showing us that God's word, once planted, has the power in itself to bring change, not because of our effort, but because of God's spirit at work. And often the work he's doing is in someone's heart is hidden. It's beneath the surface. We can't see it. And just because we can't see it, it doesn't mean he's not doing it. Personally, I didn't grow up in a Christian home myself. I remember one day asking my dad, I've told this story before, and one afternoon in the pub in South London that he frequented quite often, a number of years after I became a Christian, if he believed in God. And he replied back and said, very confidently, with a pint in his hand, no, 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 Adam, I don't believe in God, I'm Church of England. So that was the extent of my religious upbringing. I came to know Jesus as my personal Lord and Saviour by accidentally coming across a PDF copy of the Gospel of Mark that we find ourselves in this morning, one evening on a church's website when I was working in IT many years ago. Having never read the Bible before in my life, I read it, I read the whole of Mark in about an hour or so. I believed what I read, I gave my life to Jesus. Now, it's been a long journey since then, back in 2006, but it was God's word, that seed that was sowed in me, that has been growing ever since, and that has led me to be standing here before you today, preaching this sermon, and hoping that I'm keeping to time. Don't stop praying for your friend. Don't stop living out your faith at work or at school, because seeds take time to grow. God is working even when you can't see it, and if you're here today and you're not sure about faith, maybe you felt little nudges over the years. Prayers from a family member, conversations that you just can't forget, moments that made you stop and think, those are seeds. And maybe today is the day that you realize that God has been growing something in you all along. Quietly, gently, patiently. Even if you wouldn't call yourself a Christian yet, if something's been stirring, if you've started to wonder about God, that he could be planting something deeper than you realize, maybe it's time to answer that call. So there we have it, the lamp, the growing seed, let it shine, trust the process, the mustard seed, small starts, big impact, I've called it. Jesus finishes with a famous image of this very little mustard seed, and the smallest seed you can get. He even tells us it's the smallest of all seeds, yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of garden plants. When Jesus says the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, he's making a powerful point. It starts off small, not just in size, but in how quietly sometimes and how simply it can begin. It doesn't begin with these global headlines or these big public ministries. It often begins in the quiet corners of life, in a whispered prayer, in a first-time visit to church, a moment of conviction, of feeling like we know we've done something wrong, or a decision to trust God when it would have been easier not to, just to keep living our lives how we want. Jesus himself didn't arrive suddenly on the world stage with power or status. He didn't show up with armies and massive attention to make the headlines. Jesus came quietly into the world, humbly as a baby in a manger. And we're going to hear enough of that over the next coming weeks, as we should. He walked and lived with ordinary people. He poured himself into his 12 disciples. But look at the result. That quiet, hidden beginning in Bethlehem. Jesus born in a manger, walking and living with ordinary people, going to the cross and dying for all of mankind. God doing the unthinkable and raising him back to life again. It turned into this global movement that is still changing lives today. From one life laid down in love on the cross came a church, a mission, and a kingdom that spans the world. That tiny seed, that small start in Bethlehem, became something so huge, something that people all over the world now turn to when they need real hope, real peace, and a new start with God. Millions of people across generations have found meaning and forgiveness and purpose in Jesus, and it all started with what looked like something small and maybe not so quiet, because he was a human baby at the end of the day. There we go. That was deliberate. So don't write off small stuff, friends. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. In your life, the kingdom might start with one small step, but in God's hands, small is never, ever wasted. It's the beginning of something eternal. And this is the upside-down nature of God's kingdom. It doesn't come with noise or fireworks. Lord knows we've had enough of those over the last week, especially last night. It often starts quietly. One conversation, one act of kindness, one moment of surrender. You might feel small, your faith might feel weak, your story might feel broken, but the mustard seed reminds us God isn't after people who have it all together or who look the part. He's looking for people who are simply willing to say, God, I need you. I want your way, not mine. Let me say that again, especially to those of you who might be visiting today. God is not waiting for you to get your act together. Lord knows he didn't wait for me to get mine back in 2006. He's inviting you to bring to him what you have, even if it's small. So on this day, we remember how the world was changed by everyday people who stood up when it counted. Some were soldiers, some were nurses, some never saw the battlefield, but back at home, they served faithfully. They were mustard seed people. They didn't know the full impact of their actions, but they acted anyway. And as we honour them today, Jesus invites us to do the same, because he once said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." That's an invitation from Jesus, and it's also a promise, because the truth is, many of us, if not all of us, knows in our own way what darkness feels like. Maybe it's the darkness of anxiety, the kind that keeps you up at night. Maybe it's the weight of grief or guilt or shame from your past. Maybe it's a sense of emptiness, like something's missing, but you just can't quite name it or put your finger on it. Maybe it's the feeling that you're drifting through life without any real direction or purpose or peace. And for the younger people in the room, maybe it's feeling pressure to fit in, but you don't even quite know who you are yourself yet. Maybe it's loneliness, even though you're surrounded by loads of people. Or maybe it's sadness that you don't know how to explain, but it's there, or stress that makes everything in your life feel like it's too much. Jesus doesn't offer a quick fix. He offers himself. He says, "Follow me, and you won't have to walk in that darkness anymore." Perhaps you're here today and Jesus is a name you've heard, but you've never really considered any more than that. Maybe today's the moment to stop and ask, what if it's all true? What if he really is the light of the world? And he's calling you to follow him, to trust him, and to start again with him. Maybe you're here and you used to walk with Jesus. You know what it is to pray, to trust, to feel God close in your life. But life just took over. It got complicated. Church became distant. Your faith became buried under the pressures of life. But it's not gone. And Jesus hasn't changed his mind about you. Even a mustard seed of return, one small, honest, "God, I'm here," is enough to begin again. And maybe you're someone who is walking with Jesus, but like me, needed a reminder today that even the small things matter. That God is still working, that his light still shines. Whoever you are, and wherever you are with God this morning, there is a place for you in what he is doing. All it takes is one small yes. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Jesus saying yes when you asked him to sacrifice himself on the cross for not only all of us in this room, but the whole of mankind. Father, thank you that all we have to do is say yes to you and no to the wrongs of our past and follow you. So I pray, Lord, that wherever we are, whether we don't know you and we're feeling that call in our heart to know you, give us the courage to accept that call, to say yes. Lord, if we've fallen away from you, if life has taken over and made us busy, and Lord, bring us home. Remind us that you still love us, you still want us, and that all is forgiven because it was forgiven on the cross. And if, Lord, we've been journeying with you for a while in our lives, no matter how many years it is, Lord, continue to remind us of the purpose for which we are here, and that is to share your love, to shine your light, so that those around us may see you as well and be called out of their darkness. In Jesus' name, amen.